Friday, May 26th, was a happy day made up of my funny decorating, work on the LBJ Library with Mary Lasker, and then introducing our favorite Texas friends to Mary. It began early. I had dressed and had my coffee and was down at the Cedar House a little past 8, with James and a great stack of paintings, most of them from Lyndon's trip to Germany, and we marched from room to room, James holding them up and me looking judiciously. Bess had spent the night at the Cedar House, and she passed judgment on a few as she busily went about the job of putting on a lovely dinner this evening. I spent over an hour this way and then made a rush trip to James's house, taking a large mirror, one that had long ago been the frame for Selena's painting I'd bought for Lennon's birthday. Never having liked the frame, reframed the painting and used the original frame for a mirror. Sure enough, the mirror looked very well in James's house, and so did one of the paintings, and James and Mary were both very pleased, and I so much pleased, to see how neat and really attractive their house is, and how much pleasure they take in it. James's very elderly mother was visiting them. Their daughter's room was especially charming. She is going to work at KTBC this summer. Lyndon is a remarkable man. Among all the millions of things of state he has to think of, he hears from Mary Davis that her 17-year-old daughter has taken typing and has done very well in it, and he prods Jessie into giving her a summer job at KTBC. Back at the main house, I got Mr. Klein off to Lucy's, carrying his tools and more wedding gifts to be unpacked and some paintings. And then Bess and I conferred on the dinner tonight. I made a few calls and was headed for Lucy's, driving alone, something I very much enjoy, a relaxing experience for me, arriving there about 12:30. I went out to Ragsdale to pick up Mary, who arrived about 2:30, stepping down from our little plane and looking lovely and so excited. And a happy moment it was for me to get her in Texas. We drove to the main building of the university, I pointing out all the landmarks along the campus as we went, and Dr. Ransom and Mrs. Hudspeth were at the door to meet us. He took us up to his office, where we saw spread out a few of the latest acquisitions. And then we went to the library on the fourth floor, where there's a marvelous view of the whole campus. We walked out on the balcony. I had Lawrence Rockefeller's binoculars, and I looked to the northeast down the mall and picked out the very spot where the presidential library will be. I showed it to Mary. We are both a little concerned that it is not exactly at the end of the axis, because one's eye travels there, it rests there, but it is the firm conviction of Bunshaft that it be farther to the left. What then shall we have at the end of the axis? A fountain is planned for that spot, but it will have to be a strong one, high and impressive, it seems to me. Mary was suitably impressed. It's always an anxious moment when you show your child or your favorite painting or whatever you love most to a good friend, but it must be even harder for them to decide what it's adequate to say. Then we went to the top floor of the main library, affectionately called Harry's House by the students. Mary was quite impressed, surprised, I think, by the extent of the memorabilia and paintings and manuscripts of George Bernard Shaw, the Epstein sculpture, many of our possessions. And then we went past the lovely little open patio into the large room where the material associated with the presidency was spread out on tables, mostly manuscripts, letters, and maps, and against walls, the portraits of presidents. She was excited and enthusiastic, and I felt aglow with pride, because in a sense, the achievements of the university, in any field of excellence, belong to everybody who's ever been to the university, or so we feel. Mrs. Hudspeth was with us every foot of the way, helping, reminding Dr. Ransom, making suggestions. She had thoughtfully provided a large pot of very hot coffee and some delicious sandwiches and cookies, which I fell upon wolfishly, because it was by this time 3:30, and I'd had no lunch and very little breakfast. Meanwhile, the dialogue between Dr. Ransom and Mary was highly interesting to listen to, although I had very little to contribute to it. It was like two musical instruments playing a duet. None of the notes were familiar to me. He would mention a painting the university had, and she would say, "Oh yes, that was the Blue Period, wasn't it?" And then he would say something about a manuscript, and she would say, "I wonder if you bought that from the so-and-so collection?" And we had. It was a sparkling exchange in a field in which I am just beginning to know the limits of my ignorance. It was nearly 5 when we left, knowing that we'd see the doctor just a little bit later, and flew with Dale out to the ranch. I dropped Mary off at the Cedar House. Bess was there with us. We had a hairdresser waiting. Sweet little Mrs. Frederick Berg, who'd left her 2 children with some babysitter and come over to help us out on a neighborly basis, since she's no longer in the beauty parlor business. I told Mary she must get some rest and just come and join us when she could. The guests would be here about 6:30, but she mustn't rush. We gave her a guest list, and I hurried home to get my own hair combed and get dressed, and waved from the front gallery at Ruth Johnson, who had arrived early with a great armful of beautiful lilies from her own garden. Bess was hostess and greeted everybody until I could get down. We were 24 at dinner, the Ransoms and Jack McGuire and Frank Irwin alone. June is in the hospital. And the J. Lee Johnsons, these with a university orientation. And the Alfred Negleys and Henry Cattos and Marshall Steves and Houston Harts from San Antonio. And Mayor Harry Aiken and Jesse Kellum, and the San Antonio bachelor who has an attractive apartment on the river to even up the tables with all us women, Bess and Liz and Mary and I. In discussing an extra man, I had told Liz that I thought of Mary as the very side type lady. And let's try to get a gentleman suitable. She assured me this one was. Then we had the John Ben Shepherds, just because there's so much fun, and no gathering of conservationists is complete without him these days. It was a group picked exactly to my taste, and that I thought Mary, too, would find interesting. I am being very selfish about this weekend here, and everything until Lyndon comes is being planned for my and Mary's pleasure. Everybody drifted in a little after 6:30, and it was a long, beautiful twilight. We sat around the pool and watched the river and the sky, and it was pleasant talk and good companionship. Planning with Ruth Johnson about our trip to the campus tomorrow and what we hope the grounds may be like, and hearing of her work as chairman of the Committee on Buildings and Grounds with the Regents. We had noche specials and barbecued ribs with our drinks, a real introduction to Texas for Mary. And the Cattos and Negleys and Steves, full of reminiscences about the weekend with the ambassadors. Nancy invited Mary to come to San Antonio on Monday to see art galleries and the river that winds through the town and have lunch. We had dinner in the dining room. It's a bit chilly to eat out. Frank Irwin, chairman of the Board of Regents, was on my right with Mary next to him. And on the other side, the Versailles-type bachelor, Gilbert Denman. And on my left, Mayor Aiken. I was very proud of Bess's arrangements. The flowers were lovely and there was real candlelight. I seldom have it when Lyndon's here because he begins to grope his plate and glass as though he were blind. He's quite an actor. And I was proud of Mary. We began with an avocado filled with jellied consomme, covered with sour cream and red caviar, and then a delicious roast fillet of beef. I'm not sure Mary had ever fixed it that way before, but it was splendid. And corn from the garden last year's via the deep freeze, and one wine. I could notice Mary getting along fabulously with Frank Irwin, who is a smooth and charming person. Jesse was my host at one table and Dr. Ransom at the other. We had coffee in the living room with liqueurs, and then a fine-looking young man who's at the University of Texas, Dave Baylor, came in with his guitar and sang folk songs. The most likable young man, but I couldn't quite smell the coffee and feel the loneliness the way you can when the head of the school at it Alpine sings them. It was an early evening. Having come at 6:30, people were ready to go home a little before 11. So after we'd said goodbye to everybody with plans for Mary to spend Monday in San Antonio, Liz and Bess and Dave Baylor and Mary and I sat around in the living room talking about young college folks today. He had taken time off for 2 years in the service. He was back and at the university, and at 22 was far from ready to graduate. But he's glad he's taken his time for his hitch with the military, considered it no great the deprivation. Thought that there was a lot more noise than truth about anti-Vietnam feeling on campuses and about changes in young people. He seemed a very wholesome, good, likable person. And on that pleasant note, I went to bed. It had been a long day. And tomorrow, and the chances to put a stamp on the grounds of the LBJ Library beckoned eagerly.